Haven't our kids done a fantastic job today in leading us? Thank you guys so much for taking part in our service today. And it was good to have different voices up here, right? Some younger voices and then leading us. And I want to say a special thank you to Nikki Parsons, one of our directors of children's ministry. Nikki, thank you for your leadership in our church. And please encourage her in the work that she does. She does the work of the Lord among us, right? In leading our kids' ministry. And so we are grateful to have you as part of our church family, Nikki, and leading on our staff. Lauren also is a part of children's ministry, but Nikki really carries the weight there with the kids' program. And we're extremely blessed to have her and Jacob leading our students. So y'all get your day soon, okay? All right. Y'all can take over the service really soon. But today is not something that we have done in a while, Children's Sabbath. It's a national day where churches generally recognize kids' ministry and give them leadership within the service as a way of highlighting that important aspect of our church. And we're certainly blessed as a congregation to have kids. And I want to thank the parents who make an effort to get their kids here at 9 o'clock for worship. It's not always easy. And, you know, you do it during the week, and then you want a break on the weekends. And then, you know, you rise to the occasion on yet a Sunday and have them here. And it means a lot to have kids in all of our worship services. So thank you, parents, for what you do. Well, today we're going to focus our message in the context of our children's Sabbath this morning. Now, you know, some of the most powerful prayers that I have ever heard sound like the kind, or don't sound like the kind you find in a hymn book. They're not all polished. They sound more like a mom who's whispering in her pillow at night, "Lord, I pray my child doesn't do anything stupid tonight." Found myself praying that a few times. Or they may go something like this: "Lord, please let my son's Life 360 dot get a little bit closer to home." Those of y'all that have apps and follow your kids like we do, you know what I'm talking about. You stalk them, especially on weekends and at night after they get their driver's license. You're praying, just let that dot move towards home. Let them get home. Y'all, that's what we call authentic prayer. You know, it's a heart poured out to God on behalf of our kids. And that's the kind of prayers that originate in the soul of parents. And that's where our story begins today. Actually, if you go back a couple of chapters before Isabella read, you find the story of Hannah in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Hannah was Samuel's mother. And her prayers helped shape the faith of generations. So today we're going to talk about generational faith. How our prayers and our presence can pass the flame of faith on to the next generation. So I want to begin first with this idea that Samuel had someone who loved him enough to pour out their soul to God in prayer for him. Now, the book of Samuel opens with Hannah's story, a woman who is deeply devoted to God, yet she was carrying an ache in her heart. She and her husband, they got up and they went to the temple at Shiloh, which was part of what Jewish families would do several times a year. They would go to the holy sites, mostly Jerusalem, but sometimes other places where they would offer sacrifices during the festival seasons. And so at this particular time, Hannah and her husband and their family, they go to Shiloh. And there, it's a place that is bustling with laughter and celebration. The kids are running around playing. It's a real festive time. It's like a big family reunion as people would gather for these high seasons of worship. And you can imagine the scene that the people are there, they're catching up on their journey, and everybody's having a good time, including the old priest, Eli. He's sitting at his usual spot, like an old usher perched at the back of the church, you know, like an Alan Chambers. He knows everything that's going on. He knows all the comings and goings. That's Eli. And while all the celebrations are going on, Hannah quietly slips away. While everyone else is celebrating, Hannah is grieving. She's hurting. You see, she has been unable to have children, and it's breaking her heart. So she does what many of us do. She turns to God in prayer. And she prays this prayer: "O Lord of hosts, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you for all the days of his life." And Eli, he's watching. He sees her slip into the temple and pray, and he sees her lips moving inside there, but there's no sounds coming out. So you know what he assumes? She's had a few too many glasses of communion wine. And you can imagine when Eli goes to approach her about this, she says, "No, Eli, I'm not drunk. I'm desperate. I'm desperate." She says, "I've been pouring out my soul to the Lord." And Eli, realizing he's made a mistake, a wrong assumption about this woman, he blesses her and he says to her, "Go in peace and may the Lord answer your prayer." Now, before God ever gave Hannah a child, he gave her something else. He gave her trust. He gave her a willingness to surrender. Surrender everything to God. And he gave her his peace. And her heart was shaped through her prayers before Samuel ever entered the world. And y'all, we know that prayer, it doesn't always change the outcomes right away, but you know what it does is it changes us, doesn't it? Here's another way to think about it. Prayer doesn't just raise godly kids. It raises godly parents. Now, I've knelt with parents before, right here at this altar and in many other places, sometimes in my office. And I kneel with them, and a lot of times there's tears that are falling from their eyes as they pour out their hearts to God in prayer over their kids. Sometimes it's a prayer for healing. Sometimes it's a prayer for a wayward child to come home. And sometimes there are prayers offered for the baby who hasn't yet been born. And y'all, those prayers matter. They ripple through generations. I can remember before my kids were born, journaling and writing out my prayers of what I hoped God would do in their life. You see, prayers make a difference. And it certainly makes a difference in our life when there is someone who loves us enough to pour out their soul in prayer for us. And that leads me into that third chapter, where we see that a praying parent leads to a listening child. You see, by chapter 3, Samuel has grown up and he's serving in the temple. He's probably doing things like this. He's polishing stuff. You know, we had a group of students in here last week polishing the pews and the altar rail and all of the woodwork in here. This is a little slick up here this morning. And I'll probably rub my forehead and get sheen all over, but it's got some good polish on it. We've had kids doing that. We have kids lighting lamps, lighting candles. You know, Samuel, that was probably his job. That's why he was hanging out in there with the flickering light in the temple. You know, he was doing temple equivalent stuff like stacking chairs after worship, which we do in the other service, and all the kids pitch in. This is what Samuel's doing. But it was during a dark time in the nation of Israel where we learned that the word of the Lord was rare in that day. That even the priests, Eli's own sons, had lost their way. They were greedy. They were self-indulgent. They were spiritually asleep. They were basically being the kind of preachers that you hope your mother never has to listen to. They weren't doing a good job. But it was in that dark moment, in that silence, that God spoke. He spoke to a child. One night, Samuel hears that voice. Samuel. And he jumps up and he runs to Eli's room and he says, "Here am I, you called me." Eli rolls over, "Boy, go back to sleep. I didn't call you." Round two, same thing. Round three, Eli's probably thinking, if this kid wakes me up one more time. But then suddenly it hits him. He realizes what's happening. Maybe it's God who's trying to get his attention. And so Eli tells Samuel, "If you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And sure enough, that voice calls out again, and this time Samuel, he answers, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And that's the moment that Samuel's calling as a great prophet began. Right there. "Yes, Lord." You see, when kids are surrounded by people of faith, by praying parents, by faithful mentors, a loving church community, they grow up learning how to listen to God's voice. Y'all, that's my story. That's how it happened for me. Back in Holka when I was a teenager, you know, I grew up in this small church where I was asked to do just about everything. You know, I would do the announcements on Sunday mornings like Nikki just did. I'd lead in prayers. I would help with communion. I would do the Apostles' Creed like the golf boys did this morning. And sometimes I was even asked to give a sermon or share my testimony in other churches. You know, it always made me wonder why they asked me to do all those things. Did they just run out of enough volunteers? And so they said, "Hey, let's give this kid a microphone." But they let me do those things. And it was those moments that helped me to hear God's voice, God's calling in my life. Now, not every child grows up to be a pastor, but every child needs space in the church to hear God's call to them. You know, there may be some here this morning. You never know when one of those children come up to lead at a point in worship that the light bulb goes off or something nudges them. Maybe it's the voice of God calling them to serve Him faithfully with their life. You know, this past Sunday, we had our serve day. And I participated in the bed build out in the parking lot for the kids, the beds program that we have. And you know, I was amazed to see at all the different age groups that were out there working. I saw Lincoln Strickler and Luke Parsons and, and James and Holden, they were all out there serving, helping to build beds for other kids. Here's kids building beds for kids. What an amazing thing. And then right alongside them was Dot Barnett. Dot was out there serving, working circles around everybody. I mean, she was toting stuff and doing all kinds of things. Dot, one of our faithful servants. And y'all, it hit me right there. There it is. That's generational faith. That's what it looks like. That's when it's at its best. Our elders and our kids serving side by side, helping each other to respond to God's call. Samuel's journey began with the prayers of a mother and continued through the community that surrounded him and modeled faith. It wasn't perfect. We all have a part to play in helping the next generation hear God's call. And there's a passage, a verse from Proverbs that just rings out to me. Chapter 22, verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." But here's the truth. Training a child isn't just a one-season job. It's a lifelong calling. I had someone tell me before the birth of my first child, "Jimmy, children are forever." Think about that. They're forever. And throughout their life, we keep praying. In every season, we keep showing up. We keep guiding. And we pray not just for them, but we pray with them. And we give them space to listen and serve God using their gifts. And we trust that the same God who called Samuel will call our children too. That's our hope. And that's what keeps us going. Generation after generation, as God raises up faithful followers who will put their faith in Jesus, who will find eternal life and live forever, glorifying Him. That's our hope. That's our prayer for our kids. Would you pray with me? Lord, in this quiet place, we remember Hannah, a mother who poured out her soul to you, not holding anything back. Lord, I know that there's some here who've been there too. Carrying a burden for your child or grandchild or someone that you love deeply. Maybe you've prayed prayers that came out as tears. Maybe you still carry that ache today. Right now, I ask you, sitting right here in this room right now, to imagine yourself in that temple with Hannah. No one else around, just you and God. What's the prayer that you've been carrying? Maybe it's one you carried for years, the one you haven't said out loud in a while. I want to invite you to whisper that name to God right now. Offer that situation to Him again. Now, as you sit in the sacred place, I invite you to hear the gentle whisper of the Lord saying, I see you. I have not forgotten you. I am at work, even in the waiting. Just begin to invite God's peace to settle upon your heart. Welcome His peace. Now picture the young Samuel lying in the quiet of the temple at night. Everything is still. The lamp of God is flickering. And suddenly he hears his name. Samuel. Samuel. Can you hear God calling to you? Or maybe to the next generation that's sitting somewhere around you, a son, a daughter, a student, a child in our church. God still speaks, and He's still calling new Samuels and Susannas to rise and answer His call. Let's make this our prayer today. First, a Hannah prayer, and then a Samuel prayer. Lord, I pour out my soul to you. I trust you with my children, with the next generation, with all that I love. God, give your peace as I surrender them to your care. And now, Lord, help us all pray like Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. May you tune our ears to hear your voice. Awaken our children, our students, and our church to hear you again. And Lord, may our homes become sanctuaries of prayer and listening. May our faith today become the faith of generations to come, and may the story of Hannah and Samuel continue in our story, a people who pour out our hearts and listen for your call. And this we pray in the power of Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What a beautiful hymn to send us out, inviting us to respond to the call of God. Here I am, Lord. And I just want to issue an invitation today that if anyone here has felt the call of God upon their life and would like to talk a little more about that with someone, I'm here. I would love to talk to you about that. So come see me after the service or come visit me sometime this week and let me know what God is up to in your life. And maybe together we can seek God and hear His call more clearly upon our lives. And so I send you forth today with your hearts wide open and your minds clear, listening for the sound of God's voice who calls out to all of us to follow Him, to serve Him. Go now in his peace. God bless you.